And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. And if you want to send me an email, I do appreciate emails from our listeners. My email address is askmike@luinc.com. I'm excited to bring this show to you today. It's rare we're able to set up what I have for you. And a bit of background, this show is going to cover multifamily investing, but more specific than that, we're going to take a look at this from the eyes of a lead investor. You may know that person as a sponsor or a syndicator. But beyond that, we're going to do this with third-time lead investors. And these lead investors started humbly, and as they progressed through their real estate investing path, they've taken on bigger and more challenging properties each and every time. Now, when a lead investor takes possession of an apartment community, the first 90 days are absolutely crucial. It is the most important time of ownership. You're getting in, getting the boots on, and starting to implement that business plan of improving the asset and therefore improving the investment. But they've got takeover. They've got the resident introduction where they're going to say, hey, we're the new owners. Here's how you can contact our office or maintenance staff. So you've got the resident introduction. And the first 90 days is where the new owners are going to uncover all the skeletons, and they get to learn everything about the property that the previous owners may not or did not share with them. There's always going to be a lot of deferred maintenance. It seems when someone's selling a property, the maintenance items don't necessarily get addressed. I think they do that to save money. But they've got to get in and fix the exteriors. They've got to upgrade the interiors. They've got to correct and adjust any sort of management issues or procedures that are in place and put their own procedures in place of how the business is going to be run. So that involves updating accounting, checking in with the residents, contacting or correcting any sort of lease issues or discrepancies, and getting to know just who the residents are. Those are our clients. They're going to learn who the good ones are, and let's just say they're going to learn who maybe the not so good ones are for whatever reason. You know the type. All at the same time. And there's 20 other items I didn't even touch, but I'm going to let husband and wife team Courtney and Jeff share with us more. Courtney and Jeff, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad y'all can make it. I know you're very busy with this new apartment community that you're tackling. And I want to talk about that property. I want to get into what you're focusing on. But let's get to a little bit of background first, if you would share maybe a little information about each of you.
Okay, I'll start on that, Mike. My background is engineering, mechanical engineering. I went back to school while I was working and got an MBA. Went into project management. Spent most of my corporate world in defense contracting. And about the last 8 years, I spent helping run a small business where I was kind of the operations manager for that business.
Okay, those are definitely some skills that would translate to owning an apartment community, project management, and running a business. That's what you're doing now. Courtney, share a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So my degree is in interior design, and I have a minor in architecture. So I used to work in high-end residential design, and so we would do design build from the ground up, from new build to custom, you know, everything in the home. So I'm used to tackling design projects, and then we started our family, and whenever we did that, I became a stay-at-home mom.
Most important job in the world.
Right. And while I was a stay-at-home mom is when we actually started our real estate journey, and I worked on our real estate business while I took care of our children.
Okay. Well, both of you have a skill set. When I look to invest in a multifamily property, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who's done real estate before. I always want to say, okay, what's the skill set of these folks and how would that translate? So, Jeff, you've got the project management, you're running the business. Courtney, interior design, I mean, that's a match made in heaven, right? We're taking over these distressed assets, and your skill set, at least in my opinion, would definitely translate into some lead investors that I'd be interested in learning more about. When did y'all join Lifestyles Unlimited? And I guess, why did you join Lifestyles Unlimited? Who wants to take that one?
Yes.
2015?
Yeah.
My parents had owned some rental properties, probably did a lot of things the wrong way, and yeah. I'd always wanted to find a way out of working for corporate America. I'd looked at investing in 401k and realized it was going to take basically a whole lifetime to build up enough nest egg to make for an even decent retirement. And I just didn't like that slow of a journey. I was working for another company where another member of Lifestyles, who's also a lead investor, introduced us to LU.
Okay, there's the connection. So, Jeff, I know y'all started with single family properties, your idea, Courtney's idea. It sounds like she's the stay-at-home mom, so you had the clever idea that she could run the properties. Is that how it sorted out?
Yeah, that's kind of how that sorted out. She didn't really want to or wasn't really interested in it at the beginning, but she can talk a little bit about her journey towards it.
Yeah, how was that, Courtney?
I thought it was a complete scam and told him we were not going to be joining this program, and he did it anyway. So I went to the 2-day class, and after that, I was sold, and I was on board, and I saw how this was a lucrative business.
You're definitely an engaged owner, but it's interesting to hear that you weren't happy about it. My wife wasn't happy at first, but it's pretty amazing when you get 5 or 6 rental properties and you're getting that extra money each and every month. How quickly everybody suddenly says, hey, we're on to something. This is a game changer. Courtney, how long do you still own the single family properties, or did you sell them? But how long was it before you also decided to invest in multifamily properties?
We still own half of our single family. We've sold some of them off and moved that money into our multifamily investments over the years. Let's see. I guess our first multifamily like as a passive was a few years before COVID, but we actually bought our first lead deal right as COVID was happening. So it was an interesting time to jump into that new path.
Wow. Yeah. Your idea, Jeff's idea, who said, Jeff, hey, Jeff, let's buy a property. Jeff, tell us about that first property.
So our first multifamily, I think we'd actually identified it and we're trying to go under contract in early March of 2020, right? And late March, they locked down.
Yeah.
And we were under contract in April and actually went to the seller because of all the lending problems and basically asked to delay for a few months. And so we actually paused acquisition on it for about 3 months and then continued to the close process in August and ended up closing, I believe, in late October on that deal.
Wow. You went through, I mean, that was definitely a dark time. Everybody's afraid. Jeff, there wasn't any, you and Courtney didn't talk about backing out of this. I mean, you didn't have a conversation saying, hey, we've got this COVID. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But you didn't back out.
Yeah. No, we were nervous, of course. We were, Curtis Haynes was our mentor on that deal. And we didn't know it at the time. When he toured it with us, he was pretty nervous about it for us, too. So,
wow.
Not because of the market.
It was a good opportunity. It was like 15 minutes from our house. It was a small property, major deferred maintenance.
Mm. Yeah, Courtney, what, I mean, you're on board at this time? You're like, let's do this? Or what was the fear factor for you?
Because we had done so many single family homes that were in great distress, and me being an interior designer, I enjoy the design process and turning that ugly thing into something beautiful. And this, our first lead property was definitely one of those opportunities that it didn't scare me at that point because we had done so many single family in that same condition. It just was a larger property.
How many units?
12.
Okay. So you're jumping in, you've got a little 12 unit. What was the biggest challenge on that property?
Well, there was a lot of deferred maintenance on that property. So, and we also had a lot of residents that were well below market rent. So we had to do a bit of maneuvering. We would renovate units and then offer those residents that were staying at the property to relocate to a new renovated unit at the higher rent. And we were able to do so. They were happy and we were happy. It was a win-win.
So you renovated the units, you're raising the price of the rent, obviously, for a nicer condition unit, and you didn't lose a lot of residents? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think any of them left. They either stayed in their unit as is, and we did increase rents on those units, or they moved to the renovated unit. So we actually, I can't think of one person that actually left.
That's tremendous. Courtney, how many investors did y'all have on that property as your first time lead?
There were 9 total investors on that one.
Okay. And what was the raise?
$325,000.
Okay. And Jeff, how long did it take you? First time lead, you're going into this, you're getting passives to buy into your business plan, and you need to raise $325,000. Okay, so there's a challenge. How long did it take you to get commitments for the $325,000 from passive investors?
I think it was a matter of a few hours.
Yeah, 4 hours. We were 3 times subscribed.
Isn't that incredible? What were y'all thinking as first time leads when you see that? Courtney, share what that felt like.
We were so nervous that it was going to be difficult and that it was just going to take a long time. And then we actually turned on the subscriptions, and then we had a family outing planned to go take the kids to a water park. And so while we're at the water park, we happened to just look in to see where we were at, and we were oversubscribed, and we had to figure out, how do we turn this off? Because we didn't want it to get too out of hand with us. Commitments.
Yeah, I've had leads tell me it's tough because you have people saying, Courtney and Jeff, I like your plan. I like what you are basically going to put in place for this property to make it a good investment. And you have all these people commit a dollar amount to you, and then you've got to go through. How did y'all end up deciding who you were going to keep as passive investors on this property? Did you have a criteria, Jeff, or first in kind of thing, or how'd you choose?
I know we had a preference for people that we actually knew personally from going to LU events. And I have some family members in LU as well that invested with us as well.
Okay. And how long did you own the property before y'all sold it, or do you still own it?
19 months.
19 months. Excellent. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Back in a moment.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. If you'd like to learn more about Lifestyles Unlimited and how we make money 5 ways on a single family property and 6 ways on a multifamily property, I invite you to attend our free workshop. You can find that at freeworkshoplivestream.com, freeworkshoplivestream.com. It is interactive. It's not a video. Join in and come see what we do. And if you're interested, if you like it, if you want to become a real estate investor, we'd be happy to have you as a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. I've got third-time lead investors Courtney and Jeff with me here today, Lifestyles Unlimited members, single family and passive investors, and lead investors. So they've got all 3 of the legs of the stool here working in their real estate portfolio. So Courtney, that first property wasn't good enough for you. You said, honey, that was fun. Let's go do something bigger and better. And what did you find as your second property?
Our second property is a 60 unit, and it's out in Victoria, Texas. So it's a little bit of a drive for us. It's not right around the corner like the last one, but it also had great opportunity.
Yeah, so you went from 12 unit to 60 unit. That's a big bite of the apple there. What were the challenges with that property?
At that property, we actually went from having no employees to having 1 manager and 1 maintenance full time. So that was just another piece of the puzzle. We had to learn how to manage and delegate tasks to other people.
Yeah, so it's big enough that you've essentially got enough income coming in that you can afford a staff. So that's nice. You've got someone on the property to do the maintenance, someone on the property to manage it. Jeff, what are the biggest differences in, let's talk about CapEx and getting the units, changing the units and making the property better. What were the biggest differences between the first one and the second one?
We learned quite a few things on our first one that, hey, after a little while, this flooring doesn't do as well. And items that we learned on the first one that we changed or modified for our plan on our second one. And I know the flooring was a big one. We switched to a vinyl plank versus like a snap together flooring. On the CapEx side, the 60 unit just is, everything's bigger. It's got flat roofs. So that's an item that's a little more challenging, and the AC units are on the roof. And it has a pool as well.
So you've got to take care of the pool. Did you have to do some work to get the pool in shape? That seems to be the item that when people are selling a property, the pools are always in terrible shape.
The pool was actually in relatively good condition when we took over. The property wasn't horribly managed. They just had not pushed rents, and they had run it as a month-to-month property. So a lot of the opportunity there was on the operations side as much as the CapEx.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's a month-to-month property, and that's not going to work. We've got to put in solid leases, 12-month leases. Courtney, what was the challenge with that, and did you lose some residents? Did you have some turnover? Because now you're telling somebody who's used to just paying once a month, which that's kind of a risk as an investor. Is this person going to take off next month, or are they going to stay? We prefer to have long-term leases. So, Courtney, was there a lot of turnover with that or pushback from the resident, from the residents?
At the very beginning, like Jeff said, every unit was a month-to-month contract. And so there were several contractors who were renting these units month-to-month because it was cheaper for them just to rent an apartment for a month than to stay in a weekly place or even a daily hotel.
Okay.
So, yes, when we very first took over, when we started doing the longer-term contracts, some of these people who were only there for a short period of time were not living there, so they did not continue on with their lease. So we had to discontinue those and find new residents for those units.
Okay, so you take over. Everybody's on a month-to-month. Tell me your plan of how you stage these leases, because you don't want suddenly everybody's going to a long-term lease and they all expire in the same month. So what was your challenge in staggering these leases, or what was your plan in coordinating that?
You have to stagger them where more of the leases expire in the summertime, because that's when people are most likely to leave, and you try to taper that down on both sides of summer. So in October, November, December time, you really don't want very few, like just a handful. And then you can stagger those back up on both sides. So either we didn't always offer a 12-month, we maybe do like a 6 to a 12-month, but typically we don't offer anything over 12 to 13, 14 months at the max.
Okay, so stagger them out. You want more of them expiring spring, early summer, because that's leasing season. I gotcha. So, Jeff, two properties wasn't good enough for you. You said, okay, let's go get a third. How long did you own the second before you guys started looking for that third property?
I think we owned the second one for about a year and a half before we really started looking for the third property. And we spent about a year looking at properties and going under a contract and sending LOIs on other properties before we finally closed. So I think it was about almost 3 years from, no, I guess it was a little over 2 years from when we closed on the second one before we got close to closing on the third one.
So you're telling me it basically took you a year to find another property. Explain what your search was, what you were looking for. What was your criteria?
So we live in the Houston area, so we wanted to find something that was a little bit closer. And we were trying to go from like a 60 unit, because on the 60 unit, we have staff, but we can really only afford kind of average staff. We're happy with the staff that we have, but we can't afford like a lead maintenance guy with HVAC certifications. And on the manager side, you can't afford somebody who's got a degree or the amount, the education to really run a larger property. So we were looking for something that we could staff a little bit better.
Something with a little more income coming in. What size property did you end up getting on the third one?
So we ended up buying a 232-unit property.
Woo! Okay, let me stop you right there. Hang on. So you went up basically by a factor of four. So you've gone from 12 to 60 to 232. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. What was your attraction to this property, Jeff?
There was a lot of loss to lease. The management company wasn't pushing on renewals and hadn't been for the last about 3 years, in which you've seen significant raises in rent. The other thing is the current the management that had the property had only owned it for about 6 years, and they had done a good job on the physical side of the property. It was physically in good shape, so it was a lower CapEx per unit type situation.
I got you. So a little easier term. But so what you're explaining, loss to lease, is basically the units were well below market rent on this property. Is that what you're saying?
There's a good percentage of the units that when they did renewals, they weren't pushing them to market. Yes.
So, Jeff, share with me, you and Courtney are definitely a great team. How do y'all divide and conquer? I mean, obviously, one of you is focusing on a certain aspect and the other one's focusing on other aspects. What's that look like?
So, I handle the accounting, maintenance items, and projects, like any rehab project side of it. And Courtney does all of the property management side of it, and she could talk about that.
Okay. Perfect. All right. So you purchased this property. Tell me about the first day. Courtney, what did y'all do day one?
Oh, goodness. Day one was the day before rent was due, which was not a good idea. I don't recommend.
So don't close on that day. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't close at the very last day of the month when rent is due. It was a stipulation in the contract of the seller request to close in the last 10 days of the month. So it just happened to be that day. And so there was a lot of chaos because there's lots of residents coming in trying to pay their rent. And then it's a brand new team. Half the team stayed, but you know, it was a lot going on, and we had to get our operations online accounts set up for the residents as well. So that was a lot to handle. So I don't recommend to close the last day of the month.
Yeah. The books, I take
and our
it.
Manager your manager hadn't started.
Ugh. Wow. So I take it your accounting system was definitely different than the one that was in place on the property?
It actually was not. It was the same exact system, but we were able to transfer all the information over. However, they can't transfer the information until the previous owners relinquish the closing. Like, okay, they've closed. Now we're going to transfer all that data to you. So we did not have that day one. We had some of it, but not all of it. So that made it even more challenging trying to get the rent payments in because some of the data hadn't been transferred yet.
Wow. What a circus. You're in place. You've got half the management team that was there left. So you've got these folks that you're really just now getting to know that are working for you and going through all that. Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, a lot of work early on. Jeff, what were you focusing on in the first few days?
Helping Courtney, mostly. And yeah. Luckily, we kept the maintenance supervisor, and he's phenomenal. So on the maintenance side, we didn't have, like, this hysteria going on kind of thing that could happen, right? But mostly helping get the systems in place. There was also the seller had basically told maintenance they couldn't buy anything for the last, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
And even in the office, there was, like, no paper.
it's the deferred maintenance. The previous owners don't want to spend a dime because they want to show a net operating income so they can say, well, my property is worth more. And you're looking at it saying, well, you haven't done this, 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 or this. So tell me about the deferred maintenance. As you get in, I'm sure your maintenance guy was happy that you can actually get him some supplies.
Yes. Yeah, there was quite a few items. When we toured, and every time we had been to the property before closing, the pool was clear and the grass was mowed. The day we show up after takeover, right, the pool's green and the lawn hasn't been mowed in like a week and a half.
Yeah. Wow. And that's just part of it. What sort of projects did you focus on as an owner?
So we started out focusing on safety items, stair rails, handrails. We had quite a bit of welding that needed to be done. Getting the pool cleaned up for the residents and jetting all the sewers.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you uncovered any big issues that you didn't expect pre-purchase?
Yes. The second floor the flooring up in the second story of some of the building.
Yeah. The subfloors in the second story were in worse condition than we thought they were. And so we've had to spend a little more money on subflooring repairs upstairs because they were basically rolling carpet over bad subfloors.
Oh, my gosh. Did you have to move residents out to correct that, or were you able to correct it while they were still there?
We haven't needed to do that. They're not that bad. But one of the things that we do is we always use vinyl plank because it reduces our turn cost.
Yeah.
So when you replace, pull that carpet up, you have to address those items to be able to put the vinyl plank down, which in the long run is going to save us a lot of money. It's just in the short term, it has a little more CapEx cost. Fortunately, we budgeted high on our flooring costs, so we're still running in budget on that.
All right. Tell us about that interior. Are you doing new appliances, a different paint? Do you have a package? Do you have a premium package? Courtney, you want to go into that?
They had upgraded probably majority of the units. I would say 75% of the units were already upgraded. And so if the appliances are good, we're keeping those, and we're just coming in with new paint and the vinyl flooring. The downstairs units, every single one that had been renovated, actually have a tile, wood-looking tile floor, so we're not having to do any repairs or changes on those. So it's kind of just a little bit of an upgrade lift, and but otherwise they were renovated before. They look nice before.
Gotcha. Courtney, what's your biggest challenge that you're having to address as a owner, basically a new owner of a property?
I guess just managing the team, you know, keeping people. There's a lot more staff at this property. There's six total. So just keeping that juggle of all the different moving parts and making sure everyone has what they need and trying to keep organized.
I think defining tasks and separating tasks between different team members. At Vista, we have one manager and one maintenance person, so their roles well-defined. But when you have multiple maintenance people and you have a leasing and an assistant manager and a manager, basically defining their job roles was new to us on this property. And
well, that's huge. You're giving folks a job definition and responsibilities, and then you can grade on those responsibilities. So that's important. And you can improve, right? If no one knows exactly a defined of what their responsibilities are, how do you improve from there? So Jeff, what's your projections on this property? I guess give me the business plan, if you would, a condensed business plan.
This property is a little bit longer term hold. It's our loan on it is a 7-year term. It's new debt that we got it, and so our plan was to move those rents. We're implementing several items. LU's got a whole list of items to improve income. So we're implementing all of those. Every unit has had washer and dryer connections. The previous management wasn't providing washer and dryers. So we're now providing washer and dryers, adding income there.
So you're renting the washer and dryer to the resident if they want to participate in that? Excellent. What's your average, Courtney? How many turns per month? I mean, you get a large property, you're going to have people moving out every month. It's just a natural cycle. So how many turns are you having to do each month?
Well, there was quite a few down units that the previous owner didn't want to spend money on. So some of them had been down for over a year. So we're actually tacking really classic units as well as doing those unit turns. We have a lot of transfers internally where people will move from a one bedroom to a two bedroom. And so we have a lot of moving parts, not only just new move outs, but also transfers. So I can't give you the exact number, but it's quite a few right now, like, because of the new startup.
I think it's been like 15.
Yeah.
That's a month.
Okay.
It's been a lot. Yeah. Hopefully it'll slow down.
Yeah, you've got to get in. And just for the listener, you've got to, someone says, okay, hey, I'm moving. So you've got to get in. You've got to do the make ready or upgrade the apartment, depending on where it is. And then you've got to immediately start marketing and leasing that, right? We want high occupancy, so you can't have the unit down. So it's kind of go time on each of these, and doing that 15 times a month, obviously keeping you busy and keeping the team there busy. So Courtney, last question. Are you where you thought you'd be mentally, financially, spiritually when you first started this real estate investing journey?
I never thought I would be in this job role, but I'm certainly glad that we did take this path. I've met so many wonderful people along the way within lifestyles. They've become our friends and part of our family. And financially, it's well exceeded what I even thought we could.
Awesome. Well, great story. I wish you all the best. See you soon. And for the rest of you listeners out there, I want you to remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.